The introduction to Luke's Gospel refers to a certain Theophilus. Now, this can either be the proper name of an individual or the name of a group of people, the God-lovers, who were Greek speakers associated with the synagogue, attracted by the philosophical purity of the Jewish faith, believing in one God. As such, they would have been in touch with a deep part of the Jewish and Hebrew tradition which mocks the idols of the other nations, idol mockery. And that starts right from Genesis 1 and weaves its way, especially through the prophets, into the mouth of Jesus. The prophets, for example, were not very complimentary about the gods of the pagans, and Ezekiel especially often employs a term, the Gilulim, or the disc things, referring to the pagan gods as no more than cowpats or bull excrement. And this is where the whole mythology of the Lord of Flies comes. It's a mispronunciation of Baal-zebul, the high god of the Philistines, and becomes associated with cowpats, with bull excrement, and the flies are those who worship this god of, well, more filthier than clay feet. So when Jesus engages in his critics, he is drawing on this entire tradition of the mockery of idols, and also a tradition of the mockery of evil. Now that might sound very strange to our modern ears, but certainly it's there in the Reformation. For Martin Luther himself said the best way to get rid of the devil, if you cannot kill it with the words of Holy Scripture, is to rail at and mock him. Music too is very good. Music is hateful to him and drives him far away. And it's no wonder then we sing hymns in church, drives the devil away, according to Martin Luther. The world of evil needs to be taken seriously, and Ezekiel in our first reading tells us that we give it the seriousness by turning our backs on God. We are more than adequately the devil's little helpers. And Jesus reminds us that there is nothing but emptiness in that turning away from God. We might as well try to be nourished by bull excrement rather than by the living gospel. So when Jesus is accused of using evil against evil, he relies on this entire tradition of mockery. Not only is the kingdom divided against itself, the kingdom of evil is built on nothing more substantial than a cowpat or bull excrement that will dry up and just be blown away by the winds over time. That evil is not the thing to fear so much as our cooperation with godlessness, with turning away from God, with worshipping ourselves rather than worshipping God. And certainly those who challenge Jesus in today's gospel are worshipping their own opinions rather than seeing the fruits of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus, when he expels the demons, in the language of the time, is pulling people out of the ordure, out of the toilet, and into a life of grace, of harmony. If we use the words of Martin Luther about music, a world of harmony and a world of joy, where they are burdened maybe by too much self-importance, too much running around in their own heads, creating problems for themselves, Jesus shows them the way out to joy and to harmony, which is something we ourselves can do. And that's important for me at the moment. I have just started ministry in one of the parishes in this great urban conglomerate called Gauteng in South Africa, from the two edge cities. It's a distance of about 64, 65 miles between Randfontein and Nigel. Randfontein in the west and Nigel in the east, and I am quite near Nigel. I'm a few kilometers away from Nigel here in Springs. And what has surprised me in KwaZulu-Natal, which is a very rural environment, there's still a great deal of magical thought. But here in the great urban center of Africa, in this huge sprawling urban conglomerate, there is more fear of evil, there is more fear of possession, there is more experience of hearts being held in thrall by darkness and by depression than I ever found in even the most customary rural areas, which are open to worlds of magic and the distress that arises from that sort of world. Here people really fear evil. And that's the first wrong step. Evil as a self-existing entity, of course, can only be much less than God, and can only, through the victory, and dare I say it, the mockery of Christ, be a dying animal, giving its last few kicks as it fades from the horizon of human history under the impulse of Christ's victory on the cross, under the impulse of grace, under the impulse of the understanding that God wishes for us joy and harmony, and places that, renews that within our hearts with the gift of baptism. And so there needs to be a certain lightness of touch when we come to matters of evil. There needs to be a certain wariness of giving it too much power and too much authority over us. And I often fear that the church preaches Satan more powerfully than it preaches God, if I am to listen to some of the rantings that happen around, not only here in South Africa, but in other parts of the world. And that is simply ranting. For the power of evil is vanquished completely in human history by the victory of Christ, who humbled himself to come among us and to suffer the worst that we can dish out, the death of God, and to overcome that death, to give us all life and grace and hope and joy and harmony. So the words of Jesus in criticism of those who make too much of evil are for us as well. Don't give what is built on bull excrement more worth than it has, for it has no worth. Do not be like flies attracted to a pile of dung. Do not be the children of Beelzebul, but be the children of joy. Be the children of harmony. Be the children of the victory. And during our Lenten season, when we struggle with our own tendency to make ourselves God and worship ourselves, we must realize on what a slippery footing we are and come to conversion, come to give our lives to the joy and the harmony of the gospel. Amen.